Would you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 1. This was read just a moment ago. You may recall that it said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, what? God with us. You know that song, Emmanuel? We have the song there. Could you back up to that one? I think you probably know the words to this. And Doug, it's probably right before the scripture that I got into a little early there. There we go. The word Emmanuel, it's spelled with an E or it's spelled with an I, usually depending on whether you're reading from the Old Testament or New Testament, but it's the same word, one from Hebrew, one from Greek. So a little difference in the spelling, but the same word, the same name, God with us. Sing it with me. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, revealed in us, his name is called Emmanuel. Amen. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, let's try that again. "You will call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, good job. I love songs with good theology. We've even talked about that over the last several weeks. But I love songs that have a good, solid, biblical message. Emmanuel, God with us. Now the song that we just sang, Emmanuel, echoes such a great truth, doesn't it? God came to be with us. Have you ever had a special guest? Somebody you just really looked forward to, you know, you pretended like you were clean, really clean people, and you cleaned the house immaculately so that when they got there, it seemed like that's the way you live all the time. Are we the only ones who do that? We live in our house, but we make sure it's spick and span for the special guests when they're coming. You know, have you ever had somebody that was so important that you took the extra effort? Maybe you prepared a special meal. Maybe you cleaned the house extra nice. You made sure that the lawn was nice and trimmed. Lit the cinnamon or the flavor, I call them flavored candles, the scented candles. You know, when you have a special guest, you go to special lengths. Listen, God came to be with us. If you knew that God was coming, would you do anything different? If you knew that God was coming to spend Christmas Day with you, would you do anything differently? God, dear friends, came to be with us in the form of a baby boy born Jesus Christ. You know, when somebody has a need, there are a number of different ways to handle that need. You can actually call on them and say, "Hey, how are things going?" I think this is the easiest way, the most popular way. "How are you doing? Hey, do you need anything?" And you know that 99.99999% of the time, you say, "Do you need anything?" What are they going to say? Nothing. But I wonder, is that the best way to check on things? You can give a phone call. You can send a card and say, "Hope you're feeling better," or "Hope things are getting better. We're praying for you." You can send a representative. In other words, send somebody else to check on them. But if you really care, if it really matters, if it really is important to your heart, you know what you do? What? You go yourself, don't you? you go yourself. Dear friends, I want you never to forget the Lord our God came. He came himself. He didn't send a representative. He came himself. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Not God sent. Not God is coming. But God is what? With us. Another one of my favorite songs is Little Town of Bethlehem. Anybody else? I love that song. Oh, Little Town. It gives us a great deal of history as well. It tells us a lot of different things. It's good sound theology. It tells us that Bethlehem was a part of history, especially from the Old Testament. There are some important people who came from there. What do you know about Bethlehem? You remember Bethlehem? It was a town of obscurity, the scripture says. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. And it told exactly which one. Ephrathah, that one. And then he said, the town from nowhere. A town of obscurity. For centuries, it was pretty much unknown. Did you know that Bethlehem was the ancestral home of King David? King David was born in Bethlehem. But it was also the birthplace of our Lord and our spiritual King, Jesus Christ. I want you to hear this. Did you know that Bethlehem was one of the most important places for the structure of atonement that God had for his people? It was a very important place because his atonement process was based there. In other words, how men's sins were going to be forgiven from the temple. God's method for atonement is substitution. We've been reading about that in 1 John, and we've preached on that a couple of weeks ago. And substitution is this, that a lamb or another blood offering was offered in your place. Once a year, you would purchase a lamb or raise a lamb or buy an animal, and you would bring it to the temple, and the priests would take that animal and they would offer it on the altar as a blood sacrifice, and the blood from that animal was swapped. Are you with me? It was swapped for your sin. Instead of requiring your blood, instead of requiring your life, instead of you being accountable for your sins unto death, God said an animal could be offered as a sacrifice. And so your blood guiltiness was swapped for that animal's blood. Does that make sense? I know it's not a pretty process, but it never is. The blood offering of an animal was God's way for centuries. But remember this, the offering had to be perfect. It had to be a spotless, without blemish offering, a lamb. Did you know that Bethlehem was the place where the official lambs for the sacrifice were raised? Bethlehem had the official lambs that were to be offered at the temple for sacrifice. It was known as the place, the birthplace of the sacrificial lambs. Folks, where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. You recall, as we just said, that those lambs had to be perfect, no blemishes. And you know what? Lambs were like any other children. They like to wander off. They like to find their own place. They like to move around. And they would get caught in the rocks. Now, Bethlehem is a very hilly place. And I'm going to tell you, for every pound of dirt there is in Israel, there is at least 10 pounds of rocks. Stony, sharp rocks. Hillsides with thorns and briars. And those lambs that were being raised there for sacrifice were always wandering off. They would get caught in the rocks. They would get caught in the bushes. They would tear their wool or their flesh. And do you know that in order for them to be offered as the perfect sacrifice, as a sacrificial lamb at the temple, they had to be perfect. They had to be without blemish. And those shepherds had to make sure that those lambs were without blemish. So you know how they did it? They protected them, and they would take a piece of cloth, And they would wrap it starting at the hoof, and they would wrap it in a strip all the way around their leg, and they would take it up to the hocks so that the lamb, when it walked around, the wool wouldn't get dirty, it wouldn't get stained, they wouldn't get torn, nothing could nip at it, and the lambs would be protected so that they could be offered as a sacrifice. Do you know what those wrappings were called? Somebody knows. Swaddling cloth. Swaddling cloth. And that swaddling cloth was wrapped around the legs of the lamb so that it would be protected, so that it could be offered as a sacrifice, so that they would be protected from blemish and scarring. You know, the night before Jesus was born, we had the scripture read to us just a few moments ago. It says the angels appeared to the shepherds and they shared a message with the shepherds. And I'm going to tell you this, those shepherds were absolutely not ignorant of what the angels had said. They understood fully when the angel said, "And you shall find him in a manger wrapped in what? Swaddling cloth." And that symbolism was not lost on those shepherds, because those shepherds were the very ones who used swaddling cloth on their lambs for sacrifice. Friends, there was absolutely nothing lost there for those men as they went to find the babe Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloth and in a manger. Do you see God's plan in this? Do you see how God worked things out? The gift of God, the Lamb of God, born in a manger in Bethlehem, where the official lambs were born and raised, where the sacrificial lambs were prepared and wrapped in swaddling cloth. Here we are. God's word tells us once again, dear friends, that even at his birth, the Lord Jesus Christ was prepared and being prepared to die on a cross. He was being prepared to be offered as a lamb. His body was to be broken. His blood was to be shed. He came to die in your place. He came to die in my place to pay for all sin so that you, dear friends, might be saved. So that you might be saved. Jesus didn't come just for the righteous. Or should I even say he didn't come for any righteous? Do you know why I know this? Because God's word says there are none righteous. Amen? No, not one. Jesus did not come for the righteous. Jesus did not come for the faithful. There are none. Jesus came for sinners. Amen? Jesus came for you. Jesus came for me, because we are in need of a Savior, because you are in need of a Savior. Jesus came for those that he knew were unfaithful. You know, we sing that song, "Oh, come, all ye faithful." I wonder how many of us would get up and walk. Would we consider ourselves faithful? God's word says, "Oh, come, all ye unfaithful." For all who need a Savior, for all who need Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful for your love and for your care. We are so thankful for your preparation, for the substitution that you made for our sins. Thank you, God, that you loved us with an everlasting love, and that you gave us your Son, Christ Jesus, the perfect Lamb, to die on the cross for my sin, for our sin. God, thank you that you didn't come for the righteous. Thank you that you didn't come for the faithful, but you came for all the rest of us. For Father, your Son gave his life for me. Perhaps God is calling you this morning to be prepared. I believe He is. Would you prepare your hearts? Oh, come, all ye unfaithful.
Oh, come, all ye unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come, know you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. Oh, come, bitter and broken, come, with fears unspoken, come, taste of His perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon, His promise is peace. To those who believe, He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who believe. So come, though you have nothing, come, He is the offering, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. Christ is
haven't noticed, take notice now that around the sanctuary are several tables, six to be exact. We're going to be observing the Lord's Supper together. It is a part of our worship. As you are coming to the Lord's Supper table, I'm going to ask you to come in groups of family. Okay? There's one here, one here, one in the back over here. One in the back over here, one here, one here. Go to the place closest to you and go with your family. Now, we're going to be singing as you come. We're going to be singing some Christmas carols, and I'm going to ask you, don't worry about trying to everybody get up and come at one time. But if you see an empty table, by all means, stand and go together. Go to that table with your family. If there's just one or two or three of you, pair up with another family, and so that there could be four, five, or six around the table. And our deacon body and several of the wives of our deacons will be there to serve you and to lead you in receiving the Lord's Supper. Now, I want to give you this instruction. Do you know that God's Word says that whenever we take the Lord's Supper, He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of who? Jesus. Good answer. Jesus. You remember the gift that He gave. I pray that every time you sing Emmanuel or O Little Town of Bethlehem again, that you are reminded not just of His birth, but of the gift of His full life and His death on the cross. This morning, as you prepare to come, would you join me in prayer? And then, deacons and families, would you go to your tables and join me in this prayer, won't you, as you prepare to come? And by the way, we have this invitation to you. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and if you have prepared your heart to receive this Lord's Supper, would you join us? You may be visiting with us. We have, if you want to call it open communion, that's fine. But you need to know Christ Jesus. How can you do it in remembrance of Him if you don't? Amen? But you are welcome to join us. Don't come alone. Join with somebody. And if you see someone, church family, by all means, invite somebody to come with you. If you see one or two or a couple that are by themselves, invite them to be a part of your circle, won't you? Would you pray with me as our deacons and their wives come forward? Father, would you help our hearts to be prepared? You said, Father, that we are to prepare our hearts. Your word reminds us, Lord, that we do not come to your table in an unworthy fashion. So, Lord, help us to take some time to examine our hearts, to confess our sin, to ask for your forgiveness, to be restored in faith, and to walk in obedience. Father, help us never to forget the price that was paid for our eternal life through Christ Jesus, the gift of your Son, born in a manger, risen from the grave, and preparing us a place in heaven. This is our prayer, Father. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, you prepare to come whenever you're ready. You just stand to come. You can wait until we're going to sing several songs. So when you return to your seat with your candles, we'll have the candle lighting service following. But you come as you're prepared, won't you? Several songs. You have plenty of time. There's no hurry. God bless you as we sing. Oh, thank you. If you need gluten-free, come to this table where I will be. If you need gluten-free, and be sure you let us know when you get here, okay? Thank you. Would you like to stand for a moment? Stand.
Come, thou Lord. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy child, and yet a to reign in us forever now. Thy gracious kingdom reign by thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine own sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine own sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined.
God's word tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." How many of you feel like there is peace on earth now? How many of you know peace in your heart? Friend, that is the key here. We carry the peace of God in our hearts. Amen? We carry the peace of God in our spirit, and we share that with the people around us. That is the joy, and that's the message of the Advent candles that we've lit throughout the month. Last and finally, we light the white candle in the middle called the Christ candle, because you see, all of it is culminated in Christ. All of it is brought together in Christ Jesus. The joy, the love, the peace, all these things that God brings is brought through a person, Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to share the light from this candle to go throughout this building. So I'm going to ask if you would to share it with those beside you, those around you, just as I pray that you will, with the light and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as the light is shared from one single candle to fill up this place, the light of Christ Jesus is shared through the one and the only Son of God. Amen? Jesus Christ. God is good. Amen. Would you take this quiet moment just to reflect? Who have you shared God's light with this year? And who will you share it with this next?
Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. God with us. God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel.
I think that we pretty much know that December the 25th was a day that was chosen to celebrate the birth of Christ. We don't exactly know the day on which he was born, but we as God's people take time to celebrate a day that we know makes all the difference in our world. Amen? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we celebrate born on Christmas Day. Would you stand with me? We are going to light one last candle, and that's the birthday cake candle. And of all the folks that we'd not forget on Christmas Day, let's not forget Christ Jesus.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
And we're going to close out with this song. Nathan's going to lead us, Silent Night.
Silent night. Holy night. All is calm. All is bright.
Stanford.
Holy infant, so tender and mild.
Sleep.
Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.